All right. Once again, we are here at KJ Talk Radio, coming at you live from Glen Arden, Maryland. And we are once again here with Albert Jones Jr. and my brother Keith sitting over there. And we're going to discuss something a little more sobering today. Usually we have an up-tempo show, and we're going to continue to do that. But one of the things we're going to discuss today is the Willie Lynch letter and how this particular tome has still affected African Americans psychologically up until this day. And we're gonna work on some of the history of it, the origin of the papers, and we're gonna also work on the psychological significance that it has had on the psyche of black people in America. Now, first of all, we want to discuss what is the Willie Lynch letter. Albert and also my brother Keith, are you all familiar with the Willie Lynch letter at all?
Well, I am. I'm a little familiar with it. I read some of it and heard a lot about it over the years. I have never haven't went into depth with it, but I'm familiar with it a little bit.
Okay, and yourself, Keith?
I had also acknowledged some of the literature over the years as far as what he wrote about our blacks in general, and I totally disagree with it.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm going to just break down a little bit. I would guess we give an overview, a brief overview of the Willie Lynch letter. Back in the year, I think, of 1712, was it 1712? Yeah, 1712. Willie Lynch basically was coming on the bank of the James River in a colony of Virginia. Okay, now Lynch was a British slave owner in the West Indies. He was invited to the colony of Virginia in 1712 to teach his methods to slave owners there who was having a problem. Now, one of the things Willie Lynch observed is that many of these gentlemen were losing slaves to being runaways. They were losing a lot of the slaves due to the fact that they were uprisings and a whole host of other problems. And Willie Lynch decided at the time, he was an entrepreneur during that dark time in our history. And what he said is, and I'll read a little bit of it. It says, "Greetings. Gentlemen, I greet you here on the bank of the James River in the year of our Lord, 1712. First, I shall thank you, the gentlemen of the colony of Virginia, for bringing me here. I am here to help you solve some of your problems with slaves. Your invitation reached me on my modest plantation in the West Indies, where I've experimented with some of the newest and still the oldest methods for control of slaves. Ancient Rome would envy us if my program was implemented. As our boat sails south on the James River, named for our illustrious king, whose version of the Bible we cherish, I saw enough to know that your problem is not unique. While Rome used cords of wood as crosses for standing human bodies along its highways in great numbers, you are here using the tree and the rope on occasion. I caught the whiff of a dead slave hanging from a tree a couple miles back. You are not only losing valuable stock by hangings, you are having uprisings, slaves are running away, your crops are sometimes left in the fields too long for maximum profit, and suffer occasional fires. Your animals are killed. Gentlemen, you know what your problems are. I do not need to elaborate. I am not here to enumerate your problems. I am here to introduce you to a method of solving." Okay, and in my bag here, I have a foolproof method for controlling your black slaves, and I guarantee every one of you that if installed correctly, it will control the slaves for at least 300 years. All right, now we're going to stop right here. Now, that was a time in history that was not pleasant. You know, we have many dark periods in our history on this planet as human beings. We have basically the Holocaust of Nazi Germany during the 1940s, World War II. We've had the Spanish Inquisition, where in the name of Jesus Christ, thousands, probably millions, killed in the name of Jesus, okay? We also had to experience 1945, you know, even though we won the war against the Axis powers, when we dropped the two nuclear weapons, the atomic bombs, they're better known as, on Japan, Hiroshima, and Nagasaki, respectively, we entered the world into nuclear power. So there are many, many things that have happened in our history as mankind that were very dark. And we know that the American slave trade being one of the particularly dark periods in our nation's history in general, and for African Americans in particular. Now, gentlemen, let me ask you this. Do you feel that a lot of the psychological methods that were used in the Willie Lynch letter still exist today? Does it still allow our people to disrespect themselves? Does it still pretty much, as African Americans, pretty much still we as men treat our women, do you feel, in a less than gracious manner? And if so, how do we correct these problems? Johnson.
Well, I feel that we are, some of us, not all of us, are still carrying these orders out today. And I think when they need to start, I fear that if everybody, they need to become aware of the Willie Lynch letter, for one thing. And once they do that, I feel that they, nothing that Willie Lynch was doing his thing as, to him it was a business.
Mm-hmm.
He was treating it like a business. So, hey, I'm saying that what you gotta be able to see a little further than he saw things so you can change what he was trying to do.
Right.
If you can't see in what he was doing, you would never be able to change it.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that once you learn his concept and what he was trying to do
mm-hmm.
to the people as a whole, then you could see yourself trying to change it.
Okay.
And right today, yes, we some of us still living those orders today.
Okay, got you. Now, Keith, I'll just ask you real quick. Give me an example of something you might see in just everyday walk around society that is still the evidence among us as African Americans of the power of the 300-year-old doctrine known as the Willie Lynch letter.
Basically, I'm acknowledging his letter. I totally disagree with it.
Mm-hmm.
As far as us blacks, we are here to get along,
mm-hmm.
to love everyone,
right,
and respect each other.
Do you think we do that now? Do you think we do that, you know, as a whole? Do you think we do that completely and totally, or do you think that the Willie Lynch concept still pretty much holds a lot of us down in psychologically, you know?
No, I don't think that, because as a black American native myself, it's up to us to comprehend and disregard what he ever written.
Okay, gotcha.
Spoken against a black.
Okay, I feel that in a sense it is still hold until you see the light. You only gonna be able you will be able to correct the way you're doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that we are being held to a certain degree because some of the things that's going on is still going on. I think that was four different orders that he carried out.
Mm-hmm.
And using these orders against each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, complexion, hair,
gender,
and gender.
Mm-hmm.
And these type things are still being lived today. Until you be able to see this, you won't be able to change anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're thinking that this is ordinary.
Right,
but it's
right.
Not. You know, like a lot of people, I have talked to a lot of people, they never heard of the Willie Lynch letter.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about? So until you, like, read the letter and see what the letter was saying,
right,
that way you'll be able to make some changes. And I think that Black Americans, not all of them, but a certain percentage of them, are still teaching their kids the way they can.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching their kids so if they continue to teach their kids the way they can, they're going to keep living, keep carrying on. And that's the way that the Lynch structured it. So you continue to pass it down to generation.
Gotcha.
And
gotcha.
That is what's happening now.
Right. All right. Well, I tell you what, man, we're going to come right back. We got to pay some bills real quick. But when we return, we're going to talk about sagging. And you know what that means. Sagging is youth walking around with their pants hanging below their butt. You can see their underwear. You can pretty much see their boxes or whatever. You know, is that appropriate? Do you think that that's politically correct? If not, explain why. And let's go on the same connection with the Willie Lynch battle. We got to pay some bills, y'all. KJ Talk Radio. Holla at your boy.
Pop Up Your Book Promotion proudly presents Daryl King's urban thriller, Mo Diddy. It has been long said that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Darfuski Island is a bustling gateway for the illicit narcotic trade coming into Savannah. There is money to be made and territories to be defended. Yet within the chaos, there is a balance of power. Whiskey Battle is a streetwise hustler with the right connections. He knows what he needs to know to safely navigate the eddies of the island's rising drug trade. Police Chief Mickey O'Malley has a reputation for enforcing his own code of laws. His cavalier one-size-fits-all sense of justice is applied equally no matter how minor the infraction. Punk kids tagging vacant buildings are penalized no differently than the drug dealers who sell millions of dollars of coke. O'Malley's arrival threatens the profits and borders of all the street gangs, forcing enemies to suspend grudges and sign temporary peace treaties. Will the alliances between the bosses and the thugs, with the help of the rogue cops, bring a permanent end to the Middleton police chief? Or will O'Malley use blood feuds to enforce his personal vision of justice? Mo Diddy is available through all fine bookstores and online through Amazon.com. Pump Up Your Book Promotion is a full-service public relations firm that specializes in online book promotion.
Have you ever wanted to work in the presence of your own home? Well, today I would like to introduce to you Jones Retail, a home-based mail order company specializing in high-quality customer products and superior customer service, provides an excellent opportunity to those interested in either supplementing or creating the most lucrative income, which holds unlimited growth potential. For the small, one-time startup fee of $50, anyone can immediately get started in this exciting money-making opportunity, which allows you both the ease and the flexibility to work from the comfort of your own home at the hours of your own choice. Act now by taking advantage of this limited time offer to allow you a measure of financial security in this uncertain and troubling economic environment. Choose to solidify your financial future by becoming your own boss. Choose Jones Retail. For more information, contact us at 240-770-5454. And if the lines are busy, don't hesitate to email us at elderjones2959@comcast.net. You won't go wrong by Jones Retail.
All right. We're back again, and pretty much the topic today on KJ Talk Radio is Willie Lynch, Willie Lynch Letters, and how it affects African Americans unto this day. All right. Now, Sight. Now, for those of you that are unfamiliar with that term, that hip-hop term, sagging, sagging is pretty much the wearing of your pants, jeans, or whatever, to such a length on your body that it exposes your behind, your boxer shorts, your drawers, your whatever. Okay, now, there was even a law, as far as I understand, in Atlanta, Georgia, that will fine you, slap you on the wrist as a misdemeanor, much like a simple jaywalk charge if an officer sees any one, particularly any males, walking around sagging. Now, let's talk a little bit about that. Let's discuss that. Now, Keith. Okay, Keith is out the room right now, so we'll ask Elvin. What do you know about
sagging?
What do you think about it?
Well, number one, I feel that sagging should be outlawed in every state. I'm against it, and even President Obama is against it. And I feel that it's a disgrace. You can walk down the street with your ass all hung out, pants down, and look at me. It's a disgrace, and I tell anybody that I feel that it should be done, walking around in public with your pants hanging down below your knees. Oh, I am against it 100%.
Okay, all right. Now, hey, Keith, you sitting here among the people. Now, I know you got your hand up like you don't want to talk, but you know when you're sitting in the very, very studio of KJ Talk, you're going to talk today.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think about sagging,
man, I'm totally against it myself, as well as Mrs. Jones, who just spoke earlier a moment. Whatever, I'm totally against it because, as far as us blacks, we should know better than that. We should know better than that. As far as our upbringing, through our ancestors, through our parents, our fathers, that's not like.
Okay, now what about it that offends you? And I'm coming right back to you, Jonesy. But what about it, Keith, that offends you about when you see the young men, the sagging?
It disrespects us in general.
And then number one, they, you know, like sagging like that. They think that's cool. I don't see nothing cool about this.
But, okay, playing devil's advocate, a youngin or a youngster, anyone in their teens, early 20s would say, hey, you know what I'm saying, this is the way that I express myself. This is the way that the new generation, hip-hop generation, express themselves. What would you say to them?
I would say that's one of the wrong ways. That's the wrong way going about it to express yourself. I feel that there's many other ways that you can express yourself besides pulling your pants out and throw your ass. You know, I think that's a total disgrace to see. Matter of fact, I don't call any of my kids sagging their pants, but if they did, I definitely put them in place. There ain't no sagging pants around here.
I agree with you, Brother Jones. I agree with you. Okay. And also, being an employee for the government, I won't mention what employee, government agency I work for, but also being an employee, I see kids, elementary, middle school, as well as high school.
Okay.
These kids come to me for answers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I also try to sit down and talk to them. Not as a parent, not as a mother or father, what have you, but as a mentor.
Okay.
To discuss concerns as far as the dress code, as far as the integration today, how we, among us, should present ourselves, whether you're black, white, Caucasian,
mm-hmm.
Asian, whatever. It doesn't matter to me, because we're all here to serve one purpose, and that's the Lord, that's God.
Okay. Got you. Well, I can tell you this. Sagging, I feel that that's a very, this matter of fact, when I was on the metro last week, there's a young man, and his pants, if he looked like he could barely walk 5 paces ahead of him without his pants almost tripping him up, because it's almost on the side. You could see his underwear. And I mean, that was totally, to me, disrespectful to the older ladies that were on the train. Not only is he as a brother and his elder by several years, but three older ladies were on the train itself, and I think, matter of fact, I know they were highly offended by that and standing pants popping below his waist. Below his, you know, all his ass, like you say. So,
well, do you feel that they should outlaw this in all states? You see anything against that?
I would think so, because it is a matter of common decency, and it would be a matter of what law term would be used, indecent exposure.
Right. Yes.
And I agree with that. Yeah.
You know, I've seen them. I've been out in the streets and I've seen them, like, this guy was walking down the street in his pants. They fast he walked, they just kept dropping down. They dropped down so far, he liked it, like to fail. You know, he like tripped over himself.
Right.
And then it's just ridiculous, you know. How can you get around that? How can you walk with your pants all the time? But that's what we do.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't see nothing split it. It would never feel see nothing split.
Okay. All right. Well, that's one of the differences between the generations of us as African Americans, our grandparents, great grandparents, a lot of the forefathers that have gone on before that fought for civil rights during the 1960s, early, mid, late 1960s. I mean, I feel that many of them would probably be highly upset to know the ones that are now going on. Passed on, and even those that are around today, they're probably aged, many of them, highly upset to know that the youth are wearing their undergarments exposed and walking around like that. I think that's something that we need to tighten up with. What would you say to a youngster that you, Jonesy, would about that and Willie Lynch's letter? That would let them think differently about sex.
Well, number one, I would say, pull them pants up. Nobody want to see that. And also, as far as the Willie Lynch letter, I feel that one thing you need to make yourself familiar with, you need to go on the internet and need to read the letter. Okay. Then you'll be able to understand it and know what you would have to do as far as the way you live your life.
Okay.
You know, you don't want to, like, and then you got us grown up. What we would have to do, too, is to change the way we teach our kids. You know, if you teach your kids the exact way that you came up, you have to turn that around in order to make them different.
Exactly.
You know, because there's nobody out there that's better than nobody.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Right. Exactly. Exactly. All right, now, gentlemen, you know, when we're going to come back after we go for this brief break, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about something that is very, very troubling in our community, and that is the N-word being used by young brothers and sisters. Now, we got to attack that, and it is something that we must address, we must focus on. So when we come back, we're going to deal with the ultimate, we can say, black mark on the legacy of all those that have come before that have tried to help, whether it be Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., whether it be Malcolm X, whether it be Sojourner Truth, or whether it be Harriet Tubman, and that is the infamous N-word. KJ Talk Radio, y'all. Holla at you.
Pop Up Your Book Promotion proudly presents Daryl King's urban thriller, Mo Diddy. It has been long said that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Darfuski Island is a bustling gateway for the illicit narcotic trade coming into Savannah. There is money to be made and territories to be defended. Yet within the chaos, there is a balance of power. Whiskey Battle is a streetwise hustler with the right connections. He knows what he needs to know to safely navigate the eddies of the island's rising drug trade. Police Chief Mickey O'Malley has a reputation for enforcing his own code of laws. His cavalier one-size-fits-all sense of justice is applied equally no matter how minor the infraction. Punk kids tagging vacant buildings are penalized no differently than the drug dealers who sell millions of dollars of coke. O'Malley's arrival threatens the profits and borders of all the street gangs, forcing enemies to suspend grudges and sign temporary peace treaties. Will the alliances between the bosses and the thugs, with the help of the rogue cops, bring a permanent end to the meddlesome police chief? Or will O'Malley use blood feuds to enforce his personal vision of justice? Mo Dirty is available through all fine bookstores and online through Amazon.com. Pump Up Your Book Promotion is a full-service public relations firm that specializes in online book promotion.
Radio, right back at you once again, coming from live from Pinard, Maryland. We are dealing with the Willie Lynch letter and the effect that it has on the psyche of African Americans, black folks. Okay, so now we're going to keep it moving. Now, there's been several motion pictures, Jonesy, that deal with issues in black America. There it was the issue of child abuse, the issue of absentee fathers, and precious. Okay? Yeah. And then you have just the thing where we have dealt with many issues via Tyler Perry's films. And we are also dealing with I would say there was one we dealt with race relations, one of my favorites, and that was Crash, about 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah, right, Crash, right.
Very crazy. Now, right. We're going to deal with something that deal with all the time, and that's the use of the N-word in the African-American community as a term of endearment. Now, you know, I have many friends of all ethnicities. I have Caucasian friends. I have Latino friends. I have Asian friends. Friends from all four corners of the world, you know, of all ethnicities of mankind. Now, my associates and friends who are non-black will say to me, why is it that African Americans can use the N-word and they're fine with it, but if I were to use that, I may be met with an unkind response, you know, at best, maybe violence at worst. Okay, now, what do you say about that? What would you say to, someone who is non-African American that poses that question to Jones?
Well, I think that number one, that African Americans should stop using that word, period. You know, like if they continue to use the word, hey, everybody else feel that they can use it too. And I think they need to ban that word completely.
Okay.
And I hear like a lot of stand up comedians like Chet Sweeney, number one. That's everything, every time you open the stock.
You know, Pat might be listening to this program.
I hope you'll be listening. You know, but I feel that every time he opens his mouth, that's what he's saying. And, you know, get me, myself, get tired of hearing that.
So it depends.
You know, it seems like the only way that they can get someone to laugh is to use their words.
Okay.
And there are so many other ways that there could be a stand-up comedian, and you take another route.
It's funny, right, okay.
It's funny.
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 Right.
You know, right. like Steve Harvey.
Okay.
You know, he don't use that word. He's funny.
Okay, okay.
The late Bernie Mac.
Okay.
He was funny.
Right.
So you just got to use that word to get some laughs.
Okay, to get some at the expense of the entire people race as a whole.
You know, when I hear a stand up artists doing stand up and they start talking that the N word all the time, I shut the TV off. I want to hear that message.
Okay, Keith.
Yes.
Do you yourself use the N word? Yo, what's up, my N word? Hey, what's up, N word? That's my N word. You know, do you use that term that has been such a painful term in our race's history? Do you use that as a term of endearment among your associates and friends?
I use the N word for nephews.
Okay, nephews, but not that. Not the N I G A or N I G G E R.
No, I never used that term. Terminology. Now, if you look at
that, I don't use that word, and I don't allow that word used in my house.
Gotcha.
If any of my kids, I have heard they might do it when they not around me.
Yeah.
But I cannot tell them use that word, and they never use it around me.
Right. Gotcha. Okay. That's understandable. Well, I believe I read somewhere that Al Sharpton and another group, I don't know if it was NAACP or another group, actually held a mock funeral for the N-word. They actually had a live coffin, and they had all of these people put letters or cards with that word. In that coffin, they said held a funeral and they buried the N word, symbolically to say,
right.
Ban it, bury it. You know, but a lot of hip hop artists would say, hey, I have to use that because that's my homies. I got to use that because that's the way we express ourselves. I have to use it because if you're taking a word that was once painful, you use it now. In a reverse, so we take away the stinger. Now, how would
why do, if that's the case, why do you get angry if somebody from another race you said?
True that.
You understand what I'm saying? You know, like if you want to ban something and stop it being used, you stop using.
Okay.
Yeah, I think people in America, if they stop using the word, it vanishes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then by you using the word, and then you teaching your kids to say the kids hear you speaking that same word. So they're going to continue to use it. They're going to go from generation to generation.
Generation to generation. Keith?
Yes. I can remember one experience I've experienced when I was there at the White House. And a gentleman approached me. I don't like to use the white word or the N word, whatever. But I had a gentleman approach me who was white, called me nigger. But I used that as a something that was positive, that was something neutral.
Okay. Okay, now we know that. Okay, that has happened, unfortunately, in history.
So when
we're saying when we use it against ourselves, how does that make you feel, and do you feel that word needs to be ended? I mean,
definitely. Needs to be ended.
Needs to be ended.
But, look at us going back to the day. That's what we did.
Okay. All
right. Yeah, but you can always.
But if it's on a positive level when we said that.
Okay.
On a positive level when we said
that. Okay, so you're saying that if you say, hey, you know, like the
I'm
youngsters.
Say, what's up? Nigga?
Yeah, what's up, nigga? Yeah. So to you, that's more of a term of endearment and not so much negative, the venomous way it was used during Jim Crow as in effect. Am I right about that?
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay.
Yeah, but it's degrading when you're among other people. It become a degrading word, and which it is a degrading word. So why would you want to continue to use it? If you want somebody to stop using something, you stop using it.
Okay.
You know, that's a word never been in my vocabulary.
I understand.
Know, I don't use that word. I don't have to use that word. There's too many other words that I can use. And I don't think it would never end because you teach your kids that same thing. They're going to teach their kids that same thing. It just continues on. So,
right.
You know, in order to stop it, you have to stop. You have to stop the main line.
But
that's just like dope in America.
Right.
That's just like the dope in America. You know, they can busting people every day for selling drugs. But what they got to do in order to stop the drug, you got to stop the main line. So, you understand what I'm saying?
I agree with you.
So that's just the same thing. You got to stop at home first. And then it would trickle down once you stop at home.
Right.
You stop. And everybody catch on. You know. I think it should be Spanish out vocabulary.
But I also, you know, when I look at it, Brother Jones and something, and you're a little older than I am, not that much, but when I look at when I hear that N word, nigga,
yeah.
I look at Nat King Cole,
mm-hmm.
who makes it
right.
Change the world, maybe something positive. So I don't look at negative.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, once more, we're going to have to pay some bills. For all you all listening to KJ Talk Radio here tonight, recognize that your donations are more than welcome. This is myself, Daryl King, Albert Jones, Keith. We got Moneybag Pat in the house right now. Let's get down when we come back to B word. That's a word that many sisters have heard. Either in a negative light or sometimes even used as a term of endearment for a black female in some respects. So we're going to talk about that, the effect of that word, whether that one should be used or not. We will continue on KJ Talk Radio and the legacy of Willie Lynch. Holla at you.
Have you ever wanted to work in the presence of your own home? Well, today, I would like to introduce to you Jones Retail, a home-based mail order company specializing in high-quality customer products and superior customer service, provides an excellent opportunity to those interested in either supplementing or creating the most lucrative income, which holds unlimited growth potential for the small one-time startup fee of $50. Anyone can immediately get started in this exciting money-making opportunity, which allows you both the ease and the flexibility to work from the comfort of your own home at the hours of your own choice. Act now by taking advantage of this limited time offer to allow you a measure of financial security in this uncertain and troubling economic environment. Choose to solidify your financial future by becoming your own boss. Choose Jones Retail. For more information, contact us at 240-770-5433. 1-800-273-8054. And if the lines are busy, don't hesitate to email us at elderjones2959@comcast.net. You Won't Go Wrong by Jones Retail.
Yeah, once again, KJ Talk Radio coming at you live, the hottest guests and the hottest topics that you possibly can find on internet radio today. Daryl King, Bubba Jones Jr., you got Brother Keith here, and got Pat, the Brooklyn Boss. That's the man over here. What's up, baby?
Hey, what's going on, family? How y'all doing?
All right, man. We are dealing here with the Willie Lynch letter. We are dealing here with the word, the B word, B-I-T-C-H, bitch. Okay, now, talk to us about that word, money bag, Pat. I mean, you're a young man, you around my age range, whatever. In Jonesy's generation and Keith's generation didn't use that word except for a disparaging term for our women. How you think that actually the effect it has on black women and the connection it has to the Willie Lynch letter, brother?
Wow, that's kind of, that's very, very deep right there. The B-I-T-C-H... The word bitch. The dictionary describes a bitch being a female dog or an animal pretty much as a female that walks on four legs. The term has been now, the word has been a term of endearment for some sisters of minority, you know, some sisters of minority background or minority ethnic background. And I feel as though, in my opinion, that word bitch is very demeaning in this society. I feel as though I wouldn't want my wife or my girlfriend or my mother or my sister to be acknowledged or to be, you know, called a bitch in public, in private. It has no place within our society to for us to go ahead and to dignify our women with that term. That's just how I feel about that.
Now you have a lot of connection yourself, boss, with the hip-hop community. Now, the hip-hop community makes gratuitous use of the word bitch. Okay, what do you feel about that?
Well, one of the things I feel about the word bitch and the hip-hop community itself is that the hip-hop community needs to... The hip-hop community is actually growing, and the maturation of hip-hop has to start taking effect, and we need to start showing younger artists, as far as us being older artists, being older producers, directors, being older movers and shakers within the hip-hop community, that words as bitch and the N-word and all these other derogative words, they're not going to have any place in standing society. And if you really want to market yourself in a much more profitable margin, then you need to be able to expand your vocabulary. You need to be able to go ahead and take yourself to another plateau so that you don't necessarily have to be termed as I'm a one-way artist, that the only thing that I can speak about is bitches and N-words and you women are hoes and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay,
you know?
Okay. All right, great. Well, but we're going to get ready to unfortunately come to that point of the night and of the show that we got to bid our listeners adieu. But before we do that, we just want to hear real quick, Albert, Keith, Brooklyn Boss, just give us a brief something of what you feel about the show tonight, about the Willie Lynch letter and how we can get over. Real quick.
Well, I think that it was a good topic that we talked on tonight, and I feel that everybody should take advantage of it and learn something about it. Go to the internet, look it up, read it, and then they'll be able to make their own decision about it.
There you go. Keith.
Talk with
All right. That's what's good. That's what's good. Boss.
Real quick, I just want to go ahead and give a shout-out, basically, as far as when it comes down to Willie Lynch letters, that it needs to go ahead and be addressed by all races and nationalities. Everybody needs to take hold of it. You also need to go and look out for all of our people, basically, and we have a lot of exciting things happening to KJ Talk Radio, along with the affiliations that we have with Cigar and Cognac Chronicles, Lead Belly Project, my buddy's Rich Ferg, my buddy Omar 012. All of these artists, these are guys that are doing some real positive things. My partner, DJ Al Spin, out with Bokito. We got big things popping.
All right, that's what's
all
good.
Right, hey, all right.
We all love you guys. We love you, writers. We want you to tune in every Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, KJ Talk Radio. We're going to give it to you live, raw, gutter, straight with no chaser. Daryl King, also Mac Daddy, Legacy of a Gangster, and all the other gangster shit you love. Holla at KJ Talk Radio. Be out.
Peace.
One.